Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 145, episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers, fuck Fox News, fuck Rush Limbaugh, and fuck Buck Sexton, fuck Ben Shapiro, Carlson.
Pretty much anyone I hang out with.
Yeah. What's the other guy that whose voice sounds like that?
Alex Jones, there's
yeah,
that
kid.
Oh, screw you, racist!
You hate to kick a man when he's down.
The globalists, I'm telling you, they're taking us down. That and
you
race
think
traitors.
He's thriving right now with QAnon doing the most, but I feel like he's kind of falling off.
Well, he got too many lawsuits where they're like, you're selling me weird boner pills that don't work.
And he also had that divorce.
Yeah.
Court appearance where he was like, oh yeah, it's all a character that I play.
Oh, this is performance art, actually.
Yeah, I'm just sort very of, method.
Yeah, in the tradition of, you know, that one guy, Man on the Moon. What was his name?
Jim Carrey.
No,
Andy
but
Kaufman.
The actual Andy Kaufman.
Well, Jim you Carrey know, the, playing right. Andy Kaufman.
But so. I like if Alex Jones is like, yeah, Your Honor, this whole thing is actually, it's performance art sort of on the level of Jim Carrey. They're like, what? Jim Carrey?
Sort of like Ace Ventura. I don't know if you...
yeah. If you see, we both tend to speak directly out of our assholes. So...
Perfect. Perfect. It's Thursday, August 6th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. It's 1, 2, 3. Take your hand and come with me, because Jack's white thighs have some jorts they need to get inside. Nailed it. I said, Jack's white thighs have some jorts I need to get inside. A 4, 5, 6. Come on and get the zip, because you don't need money when thighs look like this, do you, honey? That is courtesy of Mr. Lugubrious. Ooh. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Oh, my God. I don't even have an AKA to do one after that. I'm just going to say it's your boy every day. It's Kush Limbaugh, you know, just twisting up that OG in the backwoods and taking it back to the woods.
I feel like I was really in the pocket on that one.
You were.
Am I using that correctly?
You definitely. I mean, yeah. If we're going off like odd meter, you're sort of doing like
jorts.
If I'm gonna get like sort of rhythmically shading you, I'm like, yeah, there's some polyrhythms in there. You're definitely sort of catching.
Right. Who's the Wu-Tang member who worked in the polyrhythms?
Who?
I don't know. There's a dude who was like kind of always off a little bit.
It
wasn't one of the main ones. Yeah, I think it was You God.
I mean, You God is You God Golden Arms is very much part of Wu-Tang. So right, if we're right, talking about right. somebody yes. else, I mean, you're talking about yes. Capadonna, maybe, who's like satellite.
Was everywhere.
I mean, he twists darts from the heart, try to intrude, loop his voice on the LP. I mean, yeah. you know, so
anyways, Miles, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented Lydia Popovich!
Lydia!
What's up? It took everything for me not to jump in on that Wu-Tang talk. I was like, what are you talking about? You will not talk about You God like that. Listen. Seven Chambers.
Leave You God out of this.
Listen, yeah.
yeah. I definitely underrate You God because he didn't have one of those first solo albums that was like right. in that first wave when I was like really fully yeah. obsessed and had every one of those solo album covers on my wall.
Yeah. Honestly, I think I would pay money to go back in time and just knock on the door of Jack O'Brien when he was in the height peak of his Wu time. I think I would love that. I would truly pay money to go back
so
in time.
It was so annoying.
And just sit
My friends
down.
Made fun of me. First of all, they didn't really like rap music that much. And then
Fuck
I was like three levels deep, like analyzing the lyrics and shit. And they were just
shit.
Like, shut the fuck.
Were you smoking weed at that time too, or were you just like in full white
I was
boy
just
wonder?
A dork, just
oh,
a dork.
Oh man,
just real into it.
Just fueled by the
I was
power.
Not smoking weed, and that's where all my excess brain energy was going.
Just a backpack full of white guilt and love, trying to get you in there. I love that shit. Love that shit. I thank each and every one of you because as someone who had a career in indie hip hop in the late 90s and the early 2000s, I salute you. You put money in my pocket. I could not have done it without white boys with backpacks. So God bless you. Every single one.
If you have a Raucous Records hoodie, you weren't living that life.
Oof. Do you have an LRG hat? Hit me with it. Yes.
Exactly. I'm part of the Lifted Research team and the Lifted Research group. Yes. The interesting, they're so funny as I search it. There's a New Yorker piece called The Unexpectedly Moving Story of You God, the least loved member of the Wu-Tang Clan.
The least loved? Wow.
I mean, that's true. I mean, like, they open it up because, yes, I believe Master Killa is probably one of the most underrated in Wu-Tang that you just don't hear much about, like, you know, if you're really into that and into his artistry. But, yeah, there's, like, a whole write-up on, like, his whole career and his ups and so we'll have to get into that. Talk about the unexpectedly moving story of You God.
Yeah, I want to know what's unexpectedly moving other than his bowels. I'm curious.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. I mean,
oh,
I
are
think...
you saying You God's incontinent?
I mean, I'm just saying everyone shits.
That
man.
Is.
Everybody poops. There's a book about
Talk
it.
About darts.
I
mean, you guys, I'm going to be a little bit quieter than normal on this episode because I will be reading that New Yorker profile for the rest of the episode.
Tears streaming down your face.
Yeah, take your time. If you need a tissue break or like just like, you know, to blow your nose, one of those big messies, just let us know. You know what I mean? We got it.
All right, Lydia, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about today. We're going to be talking about that fucking interview. And this is not, you did not loop back to yesterday. This is the sequel. that fucking interview redux, Fox and Friends edition. Woo! This man, he's really can't not be himself. That's that would be the award I would give him if I was his little league coach. And this guy, you know, he's not a big hitter, but he, spirit wise, he can't not be himself. We're going to talk about the Kanye presidential run and who is actually behind it besides Kanye. It turns out it's a lot of Trump people. We're going to talk about the White House plan to rush vaccines. Not good. We're going to talk about QAnon. We're going to talk about Jurassic Park. We're going to talk about Coca-Cola. All of that. Wow. Plenty more. But first, Lydia, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oof. Honestly, I mean, we're in core times, right? So like I've moved past all of the fun search history and I'm starting to move into like the realness. Like I was taking a look to be like, what have I been looking at? And it is so depressing, dog. All that's in here. I'll straight up read you like the first top five. Financial and retirement planning advice, comma, ooh. Charles Schwab, ooh. Credit wow. score, bankofamerica.com, online banking, sign in online ID. And then a bunch of property in Tennessee. What is this here? Watch Below Deck Mediterranean.
Yeah.
That's
how
where my quarantine
you?
Is
how
at.
How far are you? How
oh,
far
episode
you?
10. I'm current as a motherfucker.
Is that already 10? So,
oh, no, it's just, season 5. But it's right, episode right. 10 of season 5.
Yeah, I think.
Right
is
now.
That the one that just aired earlier this week?
Yeah, it aired, okay. I think, on Tuesday. I don't know. I watched it yesterday. So
did Kiko get the boot?
Yeah, dog.
Yeah, I thought so. See, I had to turn off the episode before when he was failing that dinner. I was like, I can't even watch. Yo, this shit is, he's about to put out trash. And I'm like,
I can't
watch.
How are you
it.
Doing this to these beautiful, wonderful, nice black people? You are seriously serving them plates of fried? Like, come on, man. What are you
doing?
Well,
see, you know, in their sheet, they should have broke down. Like, you know, that's the problem I always see on these yachts.
Nah,
people are like,
man.
We want finger food and shit like that. But these chefs don't know how to make the real good trash food.
Nah,
it's always
man.
Like.
Hannah fucked him hard.
Oh, wow. Okay,
she
see, we got
to
get
make,
into that.
She told him to make a bunch of garbage-ass shit because he's
yeah, oh,
in Las
that's,
Vegas.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a whole other narrative because Hannah's checked out. I mean, we all know that. I mean, that's been clear as day.
And I'm just like,
cruise.
Now that tells me what I need to know about Hannah is that she eats at the Rio Buffet. Like, she's never been
to
a classy... She ain't been to the
right,
Aria.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, she ain't going to fucking Cabron. She's
yeah,
not going
Joel Robichon is out there.
Nah, yeah. Yo. I went to that dinner. I had the like 19 course dinner.
At Joe Robichon?
Yes.
Wow.
I may or may not have stolen a crystal hand soap container from their bathroom. Mm-hmm. All
allegedly.
I'm saying is this. They brought me a stool for my purse. My purse
wow,
had its own
that's
chair.
Amazing.
Right. Exactly.
That shit was incredible. I got so faded and spent so much money on a dinner and I will absolutely do it again. The most money I've ever spent on dinner, and it was fantastic.
That's, yeah. That's sometimes, yeah, just for the experience to feel like you're in a scene in a Disney movie. You're like, oh, my God.
I felt
everything
so
is coming
rich.
By.
It was amazing.
Right.
Everything came out with, like, a special dish. And I was like, wait, which part is the dish? Which part is the food? Like, when you can't identify
right,
which part to eat,
right,
you're like,
right.
This...
They're like, oh, no, Ms. Popovich, you're supposed to wash your hands with that. Oh.
Oh, I thought this was a soup.
Got the,
oh, my bad.
Got the
my
wet
bad.
Towel. Yeah. Got the
just
hot
wringing
towel
it over your mouth.
Out of your mouth. Yeah.
They're like, why are you gnawing on that salt? And I was like, I thought this was the food. They're like, no, that's a salt rock for you to kiss gently before you have the seafood. Like, oh, I didn't know. I'm
for the
sorry.
Faintest whisper of the mountains of the Himalayas.
Yeah,
in
I
your
just
mouth.
Thought you saw me. You're like, give that fat bitch a salt lick. She'll be happy, you know? Which I would be. So, oh man. Yeah. So that's where my search research is at.
Oh, wait. So also, I know you were like last time we were talking, you got your eye on Tennessee. You got, you know, you're about that Dolly,
yep.
big Dolly life.
Yeah.
You seeing any good finds in your attempted, you know, pilgrimage /
Smoky
relocation
mountains.
Out there?
Honestly, I'm seeing so much great property, but I'm really nervous right now because like, I don't want to live in a red state.
Yeah.
Like,
why? What's wrong?
What's up?
What's going on?
Yeah, the crushing reality of that, like, this motherfucker is gonna camp out in office is, like, I just kind of need to know before I invest in buying property. Like, it's making me really, really nervous. Like, it's something that I didn't think about before, and obviously because we're in the situation we are right now, I'm starting to get nervous. But there's so much beautiful land, and I found, like, two or three places, and I'm like, this would be great. Because the other part of it is, I want to get the fuck out of LA. Like, they're going to blow this place up. Like, this place is going to explode onto itself
right.
any fucking minute now. And right now, honestly, I just want to be in the forest. I want to be in the woods. I want to be where my neighbors are 20 acres away on the other side of my property. And if you come onto my land, motherfucker, I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah, so you're welcome. You want the American dream.
I want the American dream, man. I'm ready. Like,
at home in Tennessee.
I don't see nobody. I don't be bothered by anybody. Nope. And if I see you, I'll kill you.
Yep. Yeah. I want to have like little ditches around my property where there's like, you know, trip bombs where if you fucking come over that
wow.
shit, it's like, oh
like
man,
Home Alone.
Oh, you came in on the wrong place. I want drones. I want the whole shit. I want the American dream.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. Because
by the way,
have
if you want
weed there.
If you want someone you want someone fun to watch Below Deck with, I have to recommend the podcast Deckheads.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Co-hosted by our very own super producer Anna Hosnier, Nick Turner. One of the great zeitgeist guests.
Fun times.
Yeah, yeah. An episode one podcast per episode. And it's...
Man, yeah, it's something I've recently gotten into over this quarantine, just because we'll talk about it later, but like I've watched everything. Yeah. So I'm just like, what's this shit? Okay, let's watch this. What's
right,
this?
Right, right,
you know
right.
what I mean? Just trying to stumble into something. And that Below Deck thing is just like, it's fascinating because I'm just like, wow, these people are spending like $30,000 on a boat for 3 years.
Yeah, it also like really makes you hate rich people when you watch it. You're like, oh, right. Half the time, I don't like, sometimes you see people who are like, oh, okay, these people had like a nice windfall. They're trying to do something nice and they're respectful. Other times you're like, This is the kind of trash that's like blowing around in the 1% or like,
it's
you know, 3% that
where I'm just like, it doesn't even make me want to go to the Mediterranean, where I'm just like, I'm going to have to fucking go fisticuffs with some dumb bitch in resort wear with a $500 Gucci hat. Like, I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be in my Target hat. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, exactly.
I'm going to have my like, you know, my $100, you know, resort wear, and this bitch is going to try to get in front of me for a bowl of feta cheese and strawberries, and I'm going to have to clock a bitch, and I don't want to do that, you know? I don't like it, but yeah, it is fun
keep
to watch.
It relaxed.
Lydia, what is something you think is overrated?
Overrated? I think, honestly, everything being on demand. Like, it was cool before, but I've literally been home for 4.5 months, and I've watched fucking everything. Like, there's nothing, like, it's not coming out fast enough. Like, there's so much there. Like, yeah, I can sort through it and go, but it's like, now I'm just watching shit because it exists. Mm. Like, I've watched so many things I would never normally watch. Like, I'm watching hotel TV at home in my house.
Like, oh, like the Mario Lopez shit?
Yeah, like Below Deck, fucking House Hunters, fucking Caribbean Life, fucking Treehouse Builders.
Yeah.
Goddamn. I got
House Hunters International, House Hunters Renovation.
Dude. Okay. I got sucked into Naked and Afraid so deep.
Mm-hmm.
I started watching the XL and I'm like, why am I watching naked white people struggle? Like, what am I doing right now? Like,
right.
What is this providing me? And then I watched Alone because I thought that was maybe like a little bit better. And that was even weirder.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah. Alone.
What
you
is Alone?
Have you ever watched it?
No.
Alone is a singular person that they drop in the most remote, wild-ass spot where people shouldn't be, like, I don't know, the Canadian Arctic. And then they're like, hey, just see how long you can live here. And whoever lives here the longest wins $200,000 or some, like, minor amount of money.
Oh, yeah, I think I was, okay, somebody was telling me about this. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And you have to, like, build shelter from nothing. You have to, like, find water. You know what I mean? I think you get to bring, like, 10 pieces of survival equipment or whatever. So like a tent,
that you
like
pick,
your jacket.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, right, right.
And then you have to basically show the fuck up and show the fuck out so that you don't die.
That's like the opposite of like the vibe I need right now is like someone struggling with limited resources.
Dude, it was stressing me out. I didn't realize why it was stressing me out. And I'm like, this is literally your worst nightmare. Like, this person is taking what you're doing like to an extreme where like they are alone. They know that there's other people around, but they don't know where.
Yeah.
Like, and they are by themselves, but some of them have built some sick ass cabins.
Oh, really?
Like, it's just definitely the shelter game. I was like, oh, word.
Right, right. You're like, okay, someone might have a shot here. Right.
Yeah. Compared to like what I was seeing on Naked and Afraid, which is like some asshole just leaning fucking bamboo branches against a tree and then being like, I'm covered in ants.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right, right, right. Like,
why do I have all these bites on my body? And you're like, bitch, because you're sleeping on a bamboo leaf.
Yeah, this other guy's like signing a delivery order for like Italian marble for his countertops. He's like, yeah, just you're gonna lift that right there, just drop it right there above the wine fridge.
Yeah, and the dudes in Alone are like, yeah, I've been cutting down this you know, artisan birch, and I've been sanding it, and I've been you know, cementing it with moss and with mud, and now I've insulated it with a secondary layer of this. And you're just like, yo, that looks like a for real cabin. And they're like, oh yeah, because you're gonna live there for months. Alone.
Right. Oh, shit.
But yeah, so fuck everything on demand, man. I just want to have like 6 movies to choose from. I can't look through 9,000 things anymore and make choices because I can't make good choices anymore. I'm not responsible enough.
Like, take shit off, because it's the other thing too is like when everything's available, I don't want to watch it because everything's available. I'd almost be like, damn, in 2 weeks, that show will be available to watch. Like, it's weird how even just throttling my access to shit will get me to be a little bit more interested. But if it's like right now, it's like a goddamn cheesecake factory menu times 8. And I'm, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to order the chicken littles every time. I'm not going to look at the rest of the menu.
Exactly. I wish that everything, as I watched it, it would just disappear from my queue.
Right.
So
right.
That it would just be less.
Right. Because at a certain point, And it's like easy to like memorize like what the home screen looks like on Netflix or Hulu, any of these things. You're like, I don't know. It's probably going to show me the same 8 things that I'm just not checked in on.
Yeah, man. I'm struggling over here because there's also like, oh, maybe you should just read. Like, fuck off. All right. I'll read when I want to. Yeah. I don't have a hobby. I'm not going to fucking carve shit. I'm not going to, I don't know, man. I'm a lazy lady.
TV
is my life. I just want to sit around. I want to smoke weed and I want to be entertained. Like, yeah. I don't, you know, I'll take a walk. Sure. That's fine. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to like learn a new language. Like, no, I'm not doing that shit. I have nothing to prove.
That's what those prime first 6 years of my life stage was for, learning new languages.
Those days are done. I'm not learning how to roller skate. I'm not going to learn how to fucking ride a bike again. I'm not going to learn how to fucking, God, there's so many bitches trying to be a roller disco bitch. And I'm just like, you are 40, ma'am. Your knees are not built to skate backwards.
Right, you're never
going to look like that gorgeous black lady with the long fucking legs and those tiny shorts. Like, let it go, bitch. You're lucky if you don't break your knees.
Yeah, you're about to bounce rock skate your ass to the urgent care.
You know what I'm saying?
That is word for word monologue my wife gave me the other day.
So you're about to bounce rock skate your ass to the urgent care?
Yeah, and that I'll never look as good. That woman with the long legs on the roller skates.
Because she catches you watching roll bounce on your phone in the bathroom, being like, damn, man. Yeah.
Doing all the moves, but I can't skate. So I'm just like doing it on my feet.
But what you do, you put two Swiffer pads underneath your socks on like a tile floor so you get the vibe of gliding.
That's how he shops, actually. He wears his mask, he wears his gloves, and then he puts on his Swiffers.
Does
that shit through produce, like knocking off avocados and shit. Like, what's up?
They're like, here he comes, here he comes. Hey, roll bounce is here, roll bounce is here. Or they call you roll bounce sheets because you use bounce sheets. Man.
Again, another thing I would pay to watch. If you want to shoot this sketch, let's do it. I will fund it. I will pay for
honestly,
it.
Honestly, people are bored enough, and I have some loose Swiffer duster shits because them things go too. Because I fuck around.
At MFC Erickson.
Oh, yeah, okay. MFC Erickson, the man who always changes your avatar, Zeitgang graphic designer, changed Jack's avatar to him roll bounce skating with Swiffers.
I mean, you don't have to. Don't feel like we're giving you assignments. Yeah, that's true. But this dude.
But yeah, if you want us to keep respecting you, then you know what time it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Turned me into a Lego the other day. It was pretty great.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I feel like the just everything on demand, I don't know, like it, psychologically, it's like a weird psychological experiment where you're exactly right, Miles. Like, I just don't value it. I don't. The second it's also with music, I used to pay like $15 for a CD. Now I just don't give a shit about having all the music all the time.
Yeah.
I found myself this morning looking at like what's new in August on Amazon Prime. And I was like, I don't even, you could have told me like 310 to Yuma's coming. That could have been on there all along. I wouldn't have fucking known. Like, that's
that's what I'm saying. Like, is there anything you could say right now? Ooh, I want to watch that.
Right.
Honestly.
Unless it's like new, unless it's seasons of shit that is yet to come out, and like I actually have something to look forward to. I'm like, yeah, let me get to this Stacey and Darcy 90 Day Fiancé twin spinoff show. Yeah, I'm there for that.
Oh,
season 2 of Pen 15, shit like that, I'm like ready for. But like,
oh yeah,
some other thing, I'm like a movie, like everything's there. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I've seen everything.
The last like three like early release movies I've watched, I'm like, lucky for you, this did not go to theaters because it would have bombed, sirs. This is trash.
Did you see Capone?
I did watch Capone.
Yeah, I watched that shit too. And I was like, this is so bad it's good and so bad it's bad. I don't know what's going on.
I watched Invisible Man. I watched High Note. I watched You Should Have Left By Now. Like every new movie that's come out that they try to like juke you for $20, I've like waited the 3 weeks and then I like pay the like $5.99 and I rent it because I'm just like, it's new. Okay. And it's just, all of them I've been disappointed. I've yet
to see Unhinged. Did you see Unhinged, the new Russell Crowe? Oh, I think that one's actually only in theaters.
No, they're coming to
theaters.
That's
one where they're like, yeah, you got to go to a theater.
That doesn't ring bells. But pretty much everything else you ask me, I'm going to be like, yep, watched it. Yep, seen it.
Dang. Really have.
Have not enjoyed. I watched two bad Nicolas Cage movies made by Cosmos. Freaking, what's his last name? It's like Cosmos, too
the
long
Greek
break
guy.
Of a name. And it's just like, he just makes like psychedelic movies that are always pink and purple. I watched some shit called Mandy. And then I watched another movie that he made that was called, it was like some Lovecraft story. And it was just like a wild acid trip. I was like, what is this? There's not even a storyline happening.
Oh,
I was like, I just watched
Was it Color Out of Space?
Yes. That's exactly what it was.
Right.
They're terrible movies. I shouldn't be watching this stuff. Damn. There's no reason for me to be watching it, and I've watched it.
Mandy Hive is going to be coming for you, but...
Oh, my God. I went back and watched all these 90s movies. That was kind of great.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, let me see like stuff that I missed when I was in college because I was too drunk or high or didn't have a TV and didn't care. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, huh. Practical Magic, for example. I can't believe I didn't watch that movie when I was in my 20s. Yeah. I would have loved that movie. That would have been my favorite movie.
The books, too, you know.
Oh, there's books? I might have those. I'm in an audiobook situation right now where I'm love being read to, where I'm like, why am I reading when you can read to me?
You read to me.
Yeah. Those Practical Magics would be good for that.
I've been doing audiobooks while playing crossword puzzles and not solving any crossword puzzles and not retaining anything I'm reading. it's a good use of
time. Just overloading your input circuits.
Just being like sitting there with drool.
That's so funny. I listened to Gabrielle Union's book while I read Gabrielle Union's book, and that was really fun.
Wow.
Oh, like a follow along?
Yeah. Like
so it's like it's like watching a very boring movie with subtitles.
Yeah, just reading the whole thing. But it was really great because like when I get stoned, I have a hard time like retaining the information.
Oh,
so
God,
like
yeah.
I'll be reading in my mind somewhere else and I'm like 19 pages ahead. I'm like, bitch, what are you doing? So it was good to have her because she was like reading to me and I was like, okay, stay on track. Stay on track. And she's very entertaining. And so now I feel like we're friends because she told me her whole life story. So like I have to remember that I don't personally know Gabrielle Union. So if I run into her at Vaughn's, I can't be like, hey, girl, how's it going?
You're like, so how's it been? How's it been since everything? What? Excuse you? Who the fuck are you? Oh, right.
Lydia, what's something you think is underrated?
Oh, man, water heaters. Guys, you have a water heater in your house, your apartment, wherever you live. That water heater warms up water and then delivers it directly through your faucets onto your face in the shower. Onto your back when you wash your dishes, and it's hot water is amazing. And you don't know what you've got until it's gone. You know what I mean? As Joni Mitchell says, and I'm speaking out of sincere sincerity because my water heater went out on Monday and I haven't showered since Sunday. And I found out today that this shit is motherfucking broken. So I'm having to deal with a landlord in a pandemic to replace my water heater so that I don't smell like the living dead. Okay. My hair has been braided for 4 straight days.
Oh, damn.
I just want hot water. Hot
it's a weapon
amazing,
now, huh?
Guys. Yeah.
That braid, you could break the window or something.
Yeah. I'm just like, yo, this is crazy. But it's also like a real, like, hardcore, like, cosplay of what it's going to be like to be a homeowner.
Right.
But then, like, at least if it's a homeowner, like, I could get it fixed, like, right now, and I don't have to jump through hoops to, like, get someone to bring it. And this is the second water heater. No, this will be the third water heater in this house.
Wow.
Where I'm just like, can we go tankless, dog? What are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are we, because it's outside and it gets full of leaves. I mean, I don't want to bore you guys, but all I'm saying is this. You are listening to this.
Yeah.
You took a shower this morning.
Consider yourself blessed.
You're blessed. You know what I
mean? Yeah. You and also check on your water. I remember like at my house growing up, we didn't really check in on the water heater.
Yeah.
Till we had to. And we were like, oh shit, we were fucking up.
Yeah.
Like, no, there's shit like you could catch so early. You're like, oh, get that fixed now because you'll have a fucking problem in about 8 months, 8 years, whatever.
Yeah, I had to unearth. Mine was like covered and surrounded in leaves because it's on the side of the house that was like in between the other house. So it's like a part of the house that's completely inaccessible that I don't like pass by daily.
Mine almost became part of like a tree root system.
That's what I have. That's pretty much what I have going on. That's almost exactly what I have going on.
Oh, shit.
And my landlord's like, oh, yeah, just get the tree removed. And I'm like, me, get the tree? Fuck off, bro.
Just like that?
How about, let me just call a tree service real quick and give that dude $800 to fucking pull this shit out.
Okay, say less, fam. Just sign the house over to me. We're good.
Straight up. I was like, you know what you can do? You can use my rent.
Right, yeah. Because that's how this shit works.
And pay a motherfucker. It's cool, though. I'm a sassy bitch. I'm just going to give him my rent's less this month because I'm paying out for stuff. So
there you go. Do you need a place to shower? You know, we can extend numerous bathrooms to you across the city. I know you're internationally known and locally respected, so I know you're not want of a shower.
I may have to take you up on it. Right now, I'm just raw dogging it out. I'm just seeing how long I can last. I'm hoping that I can get this shit resolved because the other part of me is just like, well, it looks like Popovich might just need to go get a room at La Hermitage for the weekend and fucking stick these feet up and just get there some real hotel TV on. You know what I mean? And shower
watch some old
up.
Seasons of Below Deck with Captain Lee.
Because as of now, I'm just training for the Navy SEALs if I get in my shower. You know what I mean?
right.
Yeah.
I guess the tap, because the city's water. Warm enough, like tap isn't too cold. But yeah, nobody wants that.
Yeah, man. I'm no frog, man. I can't handle that. I'm good.
Also, this is an interesting question on my trivia night last night. This is a question that came up. How many push-ups do you have to do in 2 minutes to be able to join the Navy SEALs?
I'm going to say in 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say 300.
Okay.
I would just say, 100 sounds like, would you be able to do correct push-ups that quickly?
I think the logic Lydia is applying is like, if you're some super frog man, how many reps are you doing? It should look like a Rough Rider video where it's just nonstop.
Right. I'll go 100.
Okay. See, and it's interesting because the wording is just to get to like the buds training, you only have to do 50 push-ups.
Oh.
And I was like, what the fuck? Anyway, just things you think about. And we're talking about facts about frogmen. Huh. So I just want to throw that out there.
I was thinking like one a second, right? So
yeah, like to
minute,
be a, like, yeah, but it's yeah. just more, that's just to get to the point where they, you know, torture you so bad. You're like, you ring the bell and you're like, I want to go.
I would be ringing that bell at like, 25 push-ups.
I wouldn't. Yeah, like, I'd be like,
number four. I'd be like, this ain't for me, bitch. No.
Yeah, I'm like, is there a special like category of specialists for like blunt rolling and gutting like a swisher without a blade? I could do that.
Yeah. I'm good on that.
Yeah. Want to see me crack a blunt with my thumbs, just real quick?
We should mention, Miles, since you just referenced a trivia night last night that we won't name names, but you were on a trivia night with.
Some comedy luminaries.
Yeah, another podcast luminary, and unimpressed.
You know, I'm not gonna. You know, I wish I could see if some people were using the internet to check answers.
Okay. And that's all we're gonna say, Mark.
And maybe and that's all we're gonna say, Michelle Obama. Yeah. I know Barack was helping you.
And finally, Lydia, what is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know, to be false, or vice versa?
You know, they always say that youth is wasted on the young. And I don't think that's true. I think that's a myth. I think that youth deserve the youth. When you're young, you're young. You know what I mean? And they're like, oh, they're so carefree. And it's like what you're mistaking carefreeness for not knowing shit. Right? Like, that's different. Like, not knowing shit, not having the life experience and just being able to, like, throw shit out the window. Like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to be like when you're young. Like, I skipped that phase because I've been 65 since I was 5. Like, I am an old crotchety-ass woman. Like, I am now, like, I'm in the ripest point of my life because I feel like my emotions are finally starting to match what the outside of my body looks like. Where my crankiness, my surliness, my, like, you know, inability to adapt and to change quickly is now finally okay because I'm, you know. Right.
Before it's like, Lydia, come on.
You know, loosen up. Like, what are you, 70? And I'm like, yes, bitch, I'm 70. I would much prefer to be in a house coat at home right now.
Right.
But no, I'm fucking here in the club with you dumb bitches. Like, you know, like, I don't, like, no, you know, but I had to do that shit because I was like, I'm young. The youth is wasted on the young. Yeah.
Do you think so, that's for people just being like, it's the looks that they're talking about? It's like,
is it?
I don't know because it's true. I mean, it's all like, but it's also kind of the same way where, like, I think when I was like 18, I was like, damn, I wish I was 12. I'd have to do shit. And it was more like this idea without me realizing, like, man, you can't do shit when you're 12. You just don't like where you're at now. So you just want to go to like another period in time where you felt like you were less stressed out.
Yeah.
Right. But I think some people look at it too, of like, oh, everything's that's possible. But I think, yeah, to your point, like, I think it's a very limiting mindset to even look at how you live your own life. It's like, you only have these first 30 years to get shit done or live how you want to.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, all the time. Spirit. But I did. I was the opposite of you, where I was like 12, and I was like, God damn it, why am I not 21 right now?
Yeah,
I should
have
a bank account. I could be renting my own place. Like,
right.
I literally thought about shit like that as a child, and now I look back and I'm like, I was a weird kid in some aspects of it. Because I literally would be like, most like little kids would like want to play a game, right? You're like, oh, we're gonna play Star Wars or we're gonna play House, and I would be like, no, I want to play Bank. Right. I want to play grocery store, and I would spend like all day like setting up an actual grocery store in my bedroom and then just be tuckered out and fall asleep and never play the game. I was so into the process. I'm like, what kind of weirdo am I? I was like, no, I just want to, I want to do inventory. That sounds like fun. Yeah, let's do some inventory. Right. Which I'm like, that's why
you're even out here being like, okay, the California the California refund value on that can. Let me just put that there. Okay, great. 5 cents.
Like I do the same thing with bank where I would set it up and then I would get mad at my friends if they didn't like use the ATM card right or like fill out the form. Like I would steal forms from the bank and like make my friends fill out the forms and they'd be like, "This is boring." And I was like, "No, it's not. We have so many forms. Come on, fill them out." And now I'm an adult and I'm like, "Fuck these forms. I don't want to fill them out." So I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just jealous because I was never super youthful. Who knows?
All right, guys, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
And we're back. And so is the president of these United States back out here giving out interviews. He's like, gotta flood the zone with,
come on, y'all,
with
give
all
me my
the
roses.
Content possible.
Give me my roses.
So he showed up on Fox and Friends to kind of distract from his performance on HBO.
Axios. Does that mean... If this becomes like one of those like debt cycles, like I got to get another card to pay off my other credit card. I got to do this other interview to distract from this other interview. And you're like you're like doing interviews like 7 days a week to just try to keep this. So,
lies.
Yes, this man is on f- fucking Fox and Friends.
That's actually a pretty good description of like how a narcissist like him like just feels about like social media, basically. Like,
right.
He's like always tweeting from a place of desperation. Like, yeah. He's always just like, gotta tell him, gotta let the people know.
I mean, this whole thing, you know, like any terrible Trump interview, it had it all. It had real willful ignorance, conspiracy theories, racism, anti-Semitism. And we'll get to some of those throughout this sort of analysis of it, or whatever you want to call it, nightmare session. And he began with sort of like, it's weird. If you listen, you can tell some of the Fox hosts when you watch it too, are slowly like, they used to be like, have this like really nice puppy dog energy when he would speak, like, oh yeah, oh mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now everyone's kind of like doing that thing where like their parents said they would get that thing for Christmas for like 10 years straight, and they keep getting the same promise, so their faces are just sort of like blank now, and they're like,
right,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's what's going on. All right, yeah. So this first question, they were asking, or not first question, they were talking about many things. He started off talking about Hillary Clinton, it didn't make sense. Then bringing up a great point about the pandemic, right, and voting and what that means for his base, too, because it's not just Democrats that vote, it's Republicans. And Fox and Friends was making this point not to get so narrowly sort of focused on like just smearing the potential for fraud and mail-in ballots, but also like make it feel like voting is safe, because there are also Republicans who do go out but are also concerned. And man, the way he just puts those fears right to bed.
Looking at the pandemic, seniors and those with underlying conditions are most concerned about voting. They could be the most patriotic person in the world, but even your age bracket, Mr. President, they're concerned about going out in a crowded area, and it's legitimate. So having said that, what does the administration plan on doing to make it easier? More poll sites, clean teams, yeah, making demanding more places in,
is he
in
answering
more areas,
his own question,
the financing to do that. So if we admit there's a pandemic and a hurdle, what do you plan on doing at it if mail-in voting makes you unsettled?
Brian, all of those things and more, all of those things. And remember, November 3rd is a long way. That's a long way. The numbers are coming down very rapidly in Florida. They're coming down in California. They're coming down in Texas. They're coming down. Those three places shot up, and those numbers are coming down. So by the time we get there, we'll probably be in very good shape.
Yeah, all those things and more.
It's so wild that they're just like, and here, we'll give you the answer so that you can say yes to it.
There were numerous times, like when he was talking about second waves, like I think it was Kilmeade who's just trying to keep like sort of alley-ooping the fact that there are second waves happening in other parts of the world. And he's like, yeah, in Spain, Mr. President, he goes, and he's like, yeah, and I think in Germany, and they're like, in Spain, Mr. President, and Italy, I mean, they're on a wave right now. They've got a wave going. I mean, really cool stuff on that. I don't know if y'all are on that Italy wave yet. And they were like, he kept saying Spain, 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 and he wouldn't say it. So this again, it's just completely disingenuous. It's not a lifetime away, as he goes on to say later in his answers, like November is so far away. It is right around the corner. And for anyone who like works in politics, you're like, it's not a lifetime away. Like, especially if you're running a campaign, it's like, there's so much that has to be done between now and then. But all that and more. And despite his claims,
any massive, like, you know, thing that involves like every citizen in the United States, like you plan that years and years out. Like you don't, yes. It's not a thing where you're like, we're going to figure it out. It's just, you know, it's a couple months out.
Buy little things, like, they'll wear masks. They'll do masky stuff. It'll be very chill. It'll be chill. And even though he says like, the cases are going down here and there, the rates are still going up in this country as a whole. Right. So let's not lose sight of that.
Devastatingly so.
Yeah. And for black and brown people, especially. And I think that's why it's easy to still keep sort of acting like nothing's happening, because like relatively speaking, it's not statistically impacting your base as much. So he then goes on, just sort of they go on to talk about some other things. And Trump, you know, wants to talk about how Dems are trying to ruin him by believing science. I don't know. This is him just sort of saying that like the Democrats are playing games, and that's what's really going on out here.
The country's in very good shape, and we're set to rock and roll. But the big problem we have is Democrats don't want to open their schools. They don't want to, because they think it's going to hurt the election for the Republicans. And they shouldn't play that game. They should put the people first.
But, Mr. President, when it comes to the coronavirus, roughly we're getting 60,000 new cases a day and 1,000 deaths. So that's just got people freaked out.
Yeah, thanks for that bullshit. I just like how even that just seemed like something like a Jonathan Swan move would be like, yeah, you said your thing is like, but you're not hearing me, man. The rates are going up and people are dying, fam. That's what people are stressing about, not this other shit about Dems playing political football with school reopenings because you're ready to rock and roll, baby.
That is the wildest thing to me, that he's like, this country's doing great. We're ready to rock and roll. In what capacity, sir? Mm-hmm. In what capacity? Our economy is fucking tanked. Tons of people are working from home. Families are devastated and torn apart by death. Oh, I don't know. All of our brown and black population is being killed and being fought for. Like, how are we doing okay? How are
we just rocking and rolling? Pure rock.
I mean, obviously we know that that means, in his eyes, he is, because he's talking about white, Republican, rich America.
Yeah, right.
His America is so small that he refuses to look outside of that and realize, no, dog. No.
And I think that's...
We're ready to rock and roll like the Beach Boys with Kokomo, the greatest rock and roll song of all time.
Go to Kokomo. We'll go down to Little St. Jeff's, and then we'll act like we don't know who he is. That's where I want... So then he finds another way. Then they get on school reopenings. Again, very, very contentious issue. There are, you know, I feel like our teachers, again, are having to advocate for the children of this country by basically standing up to these school boards and saying, hell no, I'm not going back to work. You're putting these kids at risk. You're putting their families at risk. Y'all already don't give a fuck about us, the teachers, because you're sending us in here trying to use chewing gum to keep our posters up. Like, that's what are you talking about? And now, but don't worry, baby. I think people are getting really bent out of shape on this whole kid thing. What I've realized is if they go to the right school, maybe they'll be, say, I don't, again, he's telling y'all, oh, y'all too worried about the kids when facts don't actually support the idea that they are not superhuman.
My view is the school should open. This thing's going away. It will go away like things go away. And my school should be open. If you look at children, children are almost, and I would almost say definitely, but almost immune from this disease. So few. They've got stronger... Hard to believe. I don't know how you feel about it, but they have much stronger immune systems than we do somehow.
So that is fucking dangerous. You cannot say shit like that on TV, that you believe that kids are definite, and I'll say definitely, immune. And then you can see him walk it back. He's like, and I don't know. I mean, you might push back. I mean, I think it's stronger.
I don't know how you feel about that.
But I already said they're immune, and people who want to believe that are going to take that to the bank.
But people are saying...
But people don't know. I mean, if you look at the school, they're there with Charles Xavier for exceptionally gifted children. They all are mutants who are quite literally immune to any kind of human disease.
I am just fascinated how he loves to eschew science in any capacity as it relates to this pandemic, where he's just like, I don't know how you feel about it. It doesn't matter how I feel about it, how you feel about it, how Jack feels about it. Right. It's fucking science, dude. Like, you can't just, you know what I mean? I mean, as he said to Snow the other day, you know, read the manuals, read the books. I don't know which manuals or which books
Swan,
he's reading. Swan, did I say Snow? I'm thinking about Jon Snow. Informa. Sorry. But yeah, like, what the hell?
Yeah. Right. It's, and I can't, it's just so, I just get really worried. Because when you have somebody who's so pedal to the metal about like what I believe is what's real, and I'm already dealing with not even a full deck of experience. Like, I got 3 cards worth of experience, rich, white, and man, and it doesn't get much more nuanced than that. That's just puts everybody in a terrible situation. And again, you've seen these photos of some of these high schools that have already reopened. This shit looks like it's 2019.
Yeah, right. Man.
Yeah.
It is gnarly. And it's so funny too, because that's an existing problem, a pre-existing problem, right? Which is overcrowding in schools.
Yeah. Right.
So it's just hilarious to me that nobody's talking about that too. That's kind of being like swept under the rug, which is like, hey, this is a problem on top of a problem. Yeah. We've already been treating teachers poorly. We've already been shoehorning children into classrooms. We already aren't giving them the resources they need. And now we're saying, oh yeah. And also go back.
And also, they're superhuman, so don't worry about this pandemic that's quite literally killing hundreds of thousands of people. Anyway, moving on to his next.
Yeah, we've seen the Umbrella Academy, you know what I mean? Let's do it.
Yeah, get them. I mean, there was that one kid. I mean, looked like they could do all kinds of freaky shit with their powers. And if you get that one monkey butler, you know, I'd rather have him than Dr. Fauci. He looked pretty cool. So then he gets another softball question. They figure, all right, let's pivot, you know, because you're already saying some wildly problematic shit. How about this, Mr. President? A question you always crush. What would you do in a second term?
What is your second term agenda? What are your top priorities?
I want to take where we left. We had the greatest economy in the history of the world. We were better than any other country. We were better than we were ever. We never had anything like it. This country, 160 million people working. We've never had that before. We've never even come close to that. Best employment numbers, best unemployment numbers for African-American, Asian-American, women, Hispanic,
women.
Everybody. The best numbers we've ever had, the best stock market we've ever had, although we're coming very close right now. In fact, NASDAQ is already higher than that number. So a lot of good things are happening. That means to be jobs. What I want to do is take it from that point and then build it even better.
Perfect.
Did he say at one point that needs to be jobs?
It was just like random economy words.
It's
like so odd, right? When you're like, how are you going to fix this problem? It's like, right. I'm going to make it like how it used to be.
Right. But better.
It's like, imagine if you had a cancer diagnosis and your doctor's like, yeah, don't worry. So it's in early stages. And what we're going to do is, and how are we going to treat it? I mean, we're just going to make it like it used to be. Right. But how are you going to treat it? Okay. You remember how your body used to be before the cancer? we're going to make it like that and then go higher. And I'd be like, yo, get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like, that's not an answer. That is just, his thinking has not evolved past 2016.
Right.
Or 2017 when he was able to like wave the papers of like, look what I got from the last president and this economy and da da da. It's just like, there's no, he's like, you know, honestly, I'm just trying to avoid a lot of lawsuits in here. So don't make it hot right now.
Right. Yeah. I mean that. Right. I think he just knows one mode and it's the 2016 thing. And that just happened to be what worked for that election. But now it just doesn't seem like, you know, none of this could possibly be what his campaign staff is telling him to like go with, because like nationally, the numbers are that people don't want schools to open, that people, are worried about the economy. They're not just like, oh, yeah, it's going to be fine. So I don't know, like this doesn't seem like a well thought out strategy necessarily.
You don't think? Damn. All right.
Yeah.
Coming through with the microscopic analysis.
I went there.
So, and I just want to lastly leave him with this one because this, I don't know why the host of Fox and Friends even decided to ask him a question like this, but I'll just let the question and answer do its own thing.
How can we heal as a nation so that we can look at everyone as Americans? As Maya Angelou says, we are more alike than we are different.
Well, Condoleezza is 100% right. Look, we were really there. We were very close. Success. It's called success. We had the highest employment, the best employment numbers ever, ever for the black community, for African American, the best numbers, Hispanic, Asian, everybody. But we had the best numbers.
Is this a loop?
You almost think that's the last answer. That's his response when they were talking about the racial divide in this country and what they were bringing up. Condoleezza Rice, who was saying like, I don't like, but they brought her up very narrowly to do this thing of like, black people all don't have to be Democrats. Like they were really sort of focusing in on this thing. It's like, I don't want people to look at me and determine who I would vote for based on my appearance, dot, dot, dot.
Right.
And that's when, so then he takes that to just be like, and you know, black people had jobs, even though they were very low paying and they needed multiple jobs. And it was not a lifestyle that anyone would really want, but they had them.
Right.
Next. It's so.
Nailed it.
Everybody has it. Women, Asians. Everybody.
Hispanic.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So So that's what he did this time. And I'm sure he's just going to kind of keep looping on these same ideas, I think, over and over. So,
Joe Biden also seems to be doing a Joe Biden impression, like the same way that Trump seems to be doing, like an SNL sketch impression him. Like Joe Biden had a weird answer where someone was like, a reporter asked him about a cognitive test, and he was like, "Come on, man!" Like he said, literally, "Come on, man!" like three times in his answer. Also asked the guy if he was a junkie and like if he would be okay with a drug test. Just like wild shit that.
Oh my god.
Damn. Yeah. So that's what's being you know talked about on the right, I guess.
Yeah.
It's
sure.
Not. I mean, it's not a. There's no like depth to like any. It's just like him flubbing shit once again and not knowing how to communicate. But it is, you know.
Come on, man. What are you?
Come on, man.
Smacked up off that H.
It's so weird, man.
He's such a
so
grandpa funny. Response too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like the whole problem with him is just like literally you're like kind of cool but weird grandpa just like showing up with come on man don't you think come on man. Like, what?
He's also there's, like one of like those old people like you would lean on and be like yo tell me what it was like in the 20s you know
right.
And like hit you with some stories like that but not like hey what do you think of this current thing that's happening and like right. Oh I'll tell you what man Colin Kaepernick ain't black. I'm like, whoa, Joe Biden. What? You know another black person with the last name Kaepernick? I don't know. Anyway, USA. It's like, oh, Joe.
There's a thing that happens where he like gets aggressive. He's smiling, but he's speaking angrily. That like, if they could like neurologically just implant a chip that would like shock him when he gets into that
like
mode
bad,
because
bad Joe.
You know it's about to go off in a very strange direction.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's like when you're smart and you know your homie's about to get in a fist fight.
Right.
But you've been with them enough that you know, oh,
exactly.
He did the thing where he put his drink down and smiled when they just said some shit to him. what was that? And you're like, hold on.
Let's go outside.
Hey, bro, you need to close your tab, bro, because there will be some Filipino goons filling this bar up in like 20 seconds.
Real quick, we do want to talk about the third candidate in the 2020 presidential race, Kanye
Christ.
West. You know, he is still running for president. He will be on the ballot in some states.
Yeah, he's pulled out in other places, doing his best in other places to get those signatures to get on the ballot. But he's trying.
Yeah.
Trying something. I mean, a lot of,
So it turns out people looked into who the people are who are, like, backing this candidacy besides Kanye West.
Yeah.
And so there's a guy named Chuck Wilton, who is a presidential elector for Kanye in Vermont, and he will also be an elected delegate for Donald Trump at this year's Republican National Convention.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say.
Yeah, and when they're looking at these people, like who are bringing these ballots in? Who are these signature gatherers? And a lot of like wonks are like, let's look at some of these. Like, okay, that's that guy. That when they asked, when he was asked, you know, why he was getting involved, this guy Chuck Wilton said, "Quote: Somebody said that Vermont needs electors for certain people, and it was something I said that I'm more than willing to do." It's like, what the that's so vague. Somebody said that it, oh, who is that?
Somebody
exactly?
said that.
Who told you needed to do this? Because clearly you are listening to someone's orders.
Somebody said that electors, they need electors for certain people. And it was something.
Yeah.
That's not shade.
So let's see. Miss Romney at the RNC told me that we need electors for Kanye West to help Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So then in Arkansas, they said looking around, they found a guy, Greg Keller. He's listed as the campaign contact for Kanye in that state. And this guy has been around. He's worked for Mitt Romney. He was executive director for the American Conservative Union. And they also reported in 2015, he was basically up for consideration to run Donald Trump's presidential campaign in 2015. That possibility came up. So this is a guy who almost ran Trump's presidential campaign. And is now helping helping Kanye West in Arkansas. Another place, in Wisconsin, this journalist Matt Smith, there's a video of it on Twitter. He's filming this woman dropping off signatures for Kanye's campaign. And they say, oh, any comment? Like, do you want to say anything? They're like, oh, no comment. Vice News goes on to say, oh, that woman is Lane Ruland. And She is also representing the Trump campaign in a lawsuit against a small Wisconsin television station. And she's also has served as legal counsel for the Wisconsin Republican Party in 2014 and 2015. So he's got some career wonks, okay, working on this. Now, I think the sort of angel-eyed view of this is, you know, you're probably have been more adjacent to conservative politics because of your you know, proximity to Trump. And these are the people who kind of came that you could just sort of summon to help you out with this. Or there is a vested interest in helping you maybe split some votes in places like Wisconsin, where the margins are razor fucking thin. And who knows? I mean, but then it's like a toss up. Like, are there like Donald Trump people who vote Yeezy because they saw him wear the MAGA hat, or it's just like straight up idiot, like kid hype beast kids who are just going to vote? So there are many ways to sort of look at it, but I think, yeah, there are very cynical ways to see this as well.
I mean, where does this go, right? Like, he's not going to be on every state's ballot.
No.
There's not going to be a he's not going to be president. Chance of him winning or, you know.
No.
So he, like, I don't think he will even still be pursuing this up until the last,
yeah,
like, up until Election Day. So is it just going to be him coming out and saying, don't vote for me?
Or I don't know.
Will
that's
he
why
still
it's,
be like, I don't know.
Yeah, man.
Hard. It's hard to draw any conclusions on this because he's already struggling right now,
right.
You know, with his mental health. He's clearly like he's having issues at home with his wife and all that. And that's playing out in a very sad public way. So at a certain level, like, I'm not sure who is sort of guiding the campaign and what the vision is from like a purely ground game level. And if that means Republican operatives are like, maybe we can just tell, like, guide this guy to a way in the way we need and use, you know, sort of leverage his celebrity to try and get some, pull some votes away from Biden in certain places.
I mean, honestly, that's what it is. Like, I can't see it any other way. And, like, it's so sad that Kanye is in a place where he can't see how he's being used in this situation. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, and if he didn't already have these pre-existing relationships with Trump, I mean, he wouldn't be getting this kind of support. I mean, I just, this is... There's too many coincidental points here for me to think that this is a coincidence. Like, yeah. It is absolutely not. I think this is a complete diversion, which is one of the things Donald Trump is amazing at, right? Like, he is the king of delusionary diversion, where he is able to stand so deep and so firmly rooted in his delusions, he can detract everybody and distract people and get what he wants. This is absolutely that. And it sickens me to my core to realize that he's doing this. And, like, just the fact that there's race involved there, too, that he's a black man and he's a black man that's not in a great place. It's like... He's going to point back to this and say, like, look, I helped black people. I helped Kanye. Kanye is my friend. I know black people. Like, he's going to use this as an excuse. And it's just, the whole thing is effing weird. It's fucking weird.
Yeah. Anyways, let's take another quick break and we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
And we're back. Let's talk Coca-Cola real quick. You know, it's been pretty widely known that, you know, sugary beverages were a big part of the obesity epidemic in the United States over the last 40 years. But there's also been, you know, these other camps that come out that say, well, actually, when you look at the science, it's that we're not exercising enough, which has never made sense because if you look back at people in like the 30s and 20s and 40s when this wasn't a problem and like look at how they were exercising. There's this video from like the early 20th century of a gym and it's like people with like a conveyor belt that's like jiggling their body back and forth.
Oh
and that's
yeah, that
how
one.
They exercise.
Love that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So like exercise wasn't even a concept until the 70s. Like people didn't even like know what that meant until the 70s. Like
I know, I remember seeing like pictures of my grandfather being like, "Damn, grandpa, you had that six pack and everything." I'm like, "What'd you do?" He's like, I don't know, we were broke. I barely
right.
ate.
Yeah. It's and, called like, broken manual labor.
Yeah, and like food wasn't that processed back then, so like I was eating real simple and clean and I'm like, "Oh, right." Like exercise. Yeah. Yeah.
Until Jane Fonda put on some tights, nobody knew what the fuck exercising was. Okay?
Yeah. Right,
that's
right,
exactly right.
Right.
People did manual labor. People lifted up their babies. People pushed stuff. People fixed stuff. They had shit
yeah,
to
like
do.
I'm always like looking at the 70s, I'm like, "Was everybody just all like lanky and shit?" Like
oh, that was
feel
cocaine.
Like that yeah, that too, right.
Right. Cocaine and cigarettes sure. were also seen as very good for you. And yeah. like that exercise is great for you. It's mm-hmm. good for your health. It's yeah. a great alternative to smoking. Like I feel like it's what American culture, not smoking weed, but like smoking as
nah, cigarettes too. Come on, Jack. Come on, you know, Philip Morris's payroll. hold on, Jack. As a paid spokesperson for Philip Morris, I take umbrage with that. Now, what do you mean by that, sir?
Well, that's a great question from Philip Morris because I think this story really reminds me, and I think a lot of people of the tactics of big tobacco.
Right.
So Coca-Cola, from I think it was the early 2000s. No, it was 2014 to 15. Were funding a study that was basically designed to underemphasize the fact that their beverages, you know, caused or led to the obesity epidemic in the United States, and to emphasize the importance of exercise and the fact that people aren't getting enough exercise. And it's just, you know, it's like evil 4D capitalism, right? I mean, they got like academics on board. You know, there were people at University of Colorado who were funding the study, who were involved in the study, because everybody has a price and academia does not pay people enough. And so you have these academics who end up, you know, flipping to the dark side because they need the money. And Coca-Cola then is able to be like, "It's not us, man. Look, this study came out." But
right.
a team of journalists were able to uncover the fact that this whole thing was funded by Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola's that they've
delicious. Oh, sorry. As a paid spokesperson for Coca-Cola, I just had to say that.
There's some dark shit in the skeletons in their closet are pretty ugly. They do a good job of covering up the fact that they are the biggest producer of plastic in the environment. They covered up a story about poisoning the water in India. They've been on the murdering side of union disputes, union members and union leaders being killed by paramilitary death squads in Colombia. And yeah, it's just very dark. The death squads in Colombia thing is really wild. Like, people who were trying to unionize at a Coca-Cola bottling plant in Colombia, the union leaders got murdered. And there's all sorts of reasons. Coca-Cola was either criminally negligent or could have been involved.
So Jack, I'm just going to run back what you just said. So you said Colombia was the place where union workers were killed for Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Now, I just want to take a little history lesson back in time. So Coca-Cola used to have cocaine in it.
Yes, yes.
Oh, the Coca.
A little place right. called Colombia is well known as the producer
yeah, of
said cocaine. So it can't, I just can't help but wonder what exactly they were processing in that plant. And maybe they didn't kill two birds with one stone. Like, how else do you rally up and get yourself some paramilitary killers if you're not, like, in a place where you're like, okay, we've long been invested in the cocaine industry and you're in the Colombia area. Like, how else do you drop down and build? All I'm saying is there is fuck shit it is about.
Yeah. Like, well, I think also, too, is about. A lot of these death squads that were coming out in the 70s and 80s, America trained those people, you know, to be like, yeah it's like, come to the school CIA, of the Americas. Yeah, where they're like, we help you put down sort of like, oh, socialisms who are trying to fuck up our checks.
Yeah, let me show you how to run that. That's my point, is that we fund drug wars in these companies, or in these countries, rather. Like, it's just, this is a terrible place, you guys. The world is on fire.
The organizers were killed in 1994 and 1996, by the way. That shit is still going on today.
There's an article I was reading just about how, like, this whole thing about how Nestle got Japan to fuck with coffee by using Kit Kats. And I was like, what the fuck? There was this, it's because, again, you go into like the psychoanalysis that goes into even like consumer relationships to certain products. Like, Nestle tried to bring Nescafe to Japan and sort of upend. Japan's a very tea drinking culture at the time. And now Japanese people love coffee.
Oh, they love
it. At the time, we're not fucking with like Nescafe. Like, what the fuck? Like, what do we got to do? And they realized people just didn't have these relationships with the item. So coffee was too foreign. There was no memory built up about it. So they just weren't interested in it. So they're like, okay, let's make coffee candy. So kids begin to fuck with the taste of coffee early on and it becomes a treat. So when they are at like adult consumer age, we have now created a foundational relationship to coffee vis-a-vis these candies we've made that will now get them to become coffee drinkers. And like that slowly coincides with like the rise of coffee and like using Kit Kats and other, you know, candies and things like that. So yeah, I mean, like, you can even just figure out, like, okay, so we just need to get, so it's a slow play. We'll get these kids drinking coffee in about 20 years, boom.
No, never underestimate the amount of, like, cleverness and competence.
Science and shit.
And that science that is going into the dark arts of capitalism and of Fortune 500 companies. Like, these are the places that are, like, hoovering up all of the best and brightest that come out of school are, like, you know, these companies who are just designed to find a way to shave a little bit of money off the profit margin or add a coin to the profit margin, like on a daily basis that ends up adding up to billions. Like, that's a great example. The Kit Kat thing, like, that's their next level with this shit.
Yeah. Well, the specialist they deployed to Japan, I'm like, that even just sounds like such an interesting thing to do. Like, he's like I think it was a French researcher essentially, but went there and just sort of like spoke to people, did some analysis and came back. And was like, okay, so this is a long play. You just got to get the kids on it. Right. The adults, it's a wrap with them.
Like, what are the smartest people that you grew up with doing right now? Like, are the smartest people?
He's probably co-hosting a middling podcast, daily podcast.
You're the smartest person you grew up with?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's so funny.
That's my friends, bro. Ain't nobody fucking with me. And my friends, I know smart people, but who I came up with, I'm the smartest one, hands okay. down.
Okay. Yeah, me growing up, there's only probably one other person I think that's smarter than me, too. I'm the same place, Miles, because I'm brilliant.
Thank you. That's why we respect each other, you know?
Yeah, completely, right? Which is why we fill our heads with, like, fucking 90 Day Fiancé, because we're like, dude, I think so much, I just need the bottom barrel trash.
If we spent half the time watching these reality shows on solving the world's problems, I mean, we'd live in a utopia, wouldn't we, Lydia?
Yeah, no, the smartest person I know, she may or may not be working for the CIA. All I know is that like 20 years ago, she told me that somebody might call me from the CIA as a personal reference and to verify her. But then she could never tell me if she got the job or not. But I also know that she has like a PhD in comparative Persian literatures and is like an expert in like Iranian poetry and all these different stuff. So I'm just like, I'm pretty sure she works for the CIA and can't tell anybody. Yeah. Or she just might be a professor of Persian literature, which is like, cool. Yeah. You work for the CIA? Awesome.
Right. If you don't get the job with the CIA, are you not allowed to tell people?
You're not. That? You're not allowed. Like, you're only allowed to tell the like, you basically were like, she couldn't even tell me. I guessed it was the CIA. She's like, a government agency. And I was like,
you're like, hit this blunt.
Right. Yeah. I made this joke. I was like, are the feds going to call? And she's like, kind of. And I was like, the company? And she was like, kind of. And I was like, ah, bitch, tell them not to call me. I was like, I don't know if you want them to call me. I don't
I will say, actually, one of the smartest people I went to school with, her name is Amelia. She was like, okay, the valedictorian was Aaron Neal. Okay. And then Amelia
Usategui Bonilla.
She's a brilliant dancer. She went to Juilliard. She was really smart, but she was just a really talented dancer. So, and I see her now on her IG. She just does a lot of art, like really cool art. So I don't see many people. I don't know, like, anybody who, I think the people who probably are, you know, like, all jokes aside, who are, like, super smart, they're the kinds of people who I, like, wouldn't be catching up with on my, you know, social media or, like, at a reunion, and they're like, oh, yeah, that motherfucker invented ... He's richer than everybody. Right. I'm like, oh, okay, right.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I feel like a lot of the smartest people I knew growing up are doing, you know, things that just make people money and don't add any sort of value to people's lives other than make rich people richer.
Yeah, like the super brainy. I have a family friend who's a super brainy, brilliant math kid and then into college. And yeah, like he just sort of becomes sort of one of those assets that rich people identify. And they're like, yep, okay, I need you to start analyzing this shit because then you're gonna find some dollars to squeeze out. And that's what he was doing for a minute.
Lydia, it has been a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you and follow you?
I'm in my house forever. I don't believe in doing Zoom comedy shows because I don't like having telling jokes at my computer screen is the weirdest thing ever. So I'm not really doing any shows. But Hater
Tuesday. That's called a podcast, actually.
Yeah, right?
Somebody laughs and you're like, make sure you're on mute. Make sure
you're
on mute.
Shut the fuck up real quick.
Please.
This ain't your seminar.
The idea of like doing crowd work at like a little box of squares is this Hollywood Squares? Like, what is happening? No, I don't want to do this. But yeah, I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. You know what I mean? I'm hanging out. I'm making videos of rainbows that cast across my wall when the light comes through because I got crystals in my window. You know what I mean? Hater Tuesday, follow me. I'm just, you know, not doing much. Hit me up. Let's talk about a 90 Day Fiance. Let's talk about Below Deck. Let's talk about weed. You know what I mean? Let's talk about rainbow therapy. Whatever you need, I'm here for you.
Boom. Wait, what's rainbow therapy?
Rainbow therapy is something I invented. And basically it happens, the prime time is between, I'd say 3:30 and 5:30 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. You need to find a nook in your house where you can hang a prism where it will catch sunlight. And then the sunlight comes through that prism and casts rainbows. And then you put a chair right in that rainbow kind of room. And then you just kind of spin around and you let the rainbows like wash over you. Mm-hmm. Preferably for 20 to 35 minutes leading into 4:20. Then you get high as fuck. And
then you get high as fuck?
I thought, you feel it. You like have it a hits sober different. Intro.
You get your head right.
It hits different.
Yeah. Yes. And then you get high as fuck. And then you're like, fuck, these rainbows are ill. I'm a good person. I made such a good choice today. Damn. And like you just sit there and then you just ponder and you just like let the rainbow light flow over you, let that weed go through all the right, system. Shit.
Maybe I'll have to hit you up on Twitch. It would do a live rainbow therapy session. Yo, you know,
I am
for
preaching
the
rainbow therapy so hard right now because it works. Like I'm telling you, I've gotten two people into it and they're like, I thought you were lying, but this shit works. I'm like, dog, I'm telling you.
Well,
it's important.
Because last time you got me into Terrence Howard's math, teriology system, and that didn't work out too well for me.
All right.
But,
well,
you know, it was interesting nonetheless.
But yeah, man, that's me. That's my story. Just living life, trying to be free, trying to get hot water. You know what I mean?
Is there a tweet or some other act of social media you've been enjoying?
Sure. I actually saw a tweet last night that made me laugh quite large, quite loud. It's from Akilah Hughes. And she said, I hope Rihanna launches a Fenty space program and saves us all.
Damn, yeah.
I couldn't agree more. I love Rihanna. I'll do anything she tells me to do. I think she's got a nice perspective on this. Let's do this. The spacesuit would be lit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Like highlighted cheekbones to the moon and back. I'm here for it. Let's do it. Let's do it, Rihanna.
I think a Fenty designed spacesuit would be just to make me horny. I saw like whatever Rihanna's bringing to like the spacesuit game. I'm like, oh no, come on now.
You do not want to be horny in space.
No,
exactly, because you motherfuckers will be too horny, and then women can focus and get this shit fixed right. It's a distraction.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's
she's
fine.
A master of delusion. You just be like, man, that spacesuit.
I mean, I don't mind at all. My yeah, right, exactly. They're like, yeah, just look at that. He doesn't realize it's a mannequin with balloons. In the
she double. She like triple C thick though. You see that?
Yeah, man, it is. Yeah, oh, it's so good. Thank you.
Miles, where can people find you and what's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, where else? PlayStation Network, Miles of Gray. Also the other show, you know, 420 Day Fiancé. We just get high talking about 90 Day Fiancé. You know, Lydia, we'll have to maybe do some rainbow therapy soon.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
For sure. Some tweets that I like. One is from at Svensgard, and it says, I tweeted about having huge tits, and I got 10 new followers, all men. There was no picture attached. They didn't need proof. The idea alone was enough. sadly, that's... I have no, yeah, that sounds real. Those men are trash. Another one from Roxanne Gay at R Gay. It says, I'm at that stage of quarantine where the Instagram ads are working.
I feel that. I feel that hardcore, man.
Sometimes I'm like, I used to have like sponsored eye, like my eye would be like sponsored, keep going. And I'm like, what's this cool thing? It's a pool float with a cooler built in? Yeah, that would be for a river trip I'll never take.
I almost
Instagram is too good.
Adult footy pajamas, because I was like, yeah, man, I definitely need those. Like, why wouldn't I need those? And I was like, bitch, it is summer. Why? Yeah. You don't need footy pajamas in the summer?
But why not, you know?
Right?
Instagram's like 3% off where I still look at the ads they want me to click on and I'm insulted about who they think I am, but they're getting better to the point that I'm going to soon just be like, actually.
Right.
I had that happen yesterday.
Nailed it, guys.
I was going through and I had to stop because like, what is this? And then I realized I had to watch it like 3 times and I was like, oh man, who do they think I am? And then I just laughed. But it was an ad for Kegel strengthening. And it's a unit you insert into yourself. And then it has an app on your phone that basically has a game that looks just like Duck Hunt, where you basically squeeze your Kegel muscles and then it registers on the phone. And so that way you have a
game. And you're clapping birds?
Yeah, dog. Yeah, which I was like, Duck Hunt is the name of that name. And then I was also I'm like, how loose do you think my puss so is? Dope. And then I was like, well, I am a woman in her 40s. And then I was like, I do enjoy Duck Hunt. And I was like, but then I also realized a man made this game. No woman is ever going to put together a Duck Hunt game to make her pussy strong. She's just going to do the fucking, you know, like.
Hey, you know, you don't underestimate there. You know, I see those like pink real camo, real tree camo outfits out there. So, you know.
Again, made by a man for a woman. He's like, right. Man, bitch, yeah, will you please go hunting with me? I got you pink camo. And this is like some loose fucking pussed wife. She's and some horny old fucking
loose
video game
wife.
Developers like, man, I'm gonna make Duck Hunt and get that thing strong again.
Yeah, she's losing her grip. That's why she needs this Duck Hunt game. Like, what?
Yeah, and I was offended that it was in there, but then I was like, yo, okay, maybe.
Used to be yanking on that, but
yeah, maybe that's my quarantine skill. I can fucking get the high score on Duck Hunt with my cunt. Like,
yeah. I mean, but how do you cheat? Because, like, as a kid, you would just put the gun, like, right on the TV screen and be like, got your ass. I'm not even aiming the shit. I'm half the time just breaking the monitor. I guess you can't cheat on this one. I mean, truly. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. The possibilities are endless.
You're saying you're hitting that machine gun fire.
I'll let you know what happens.
You're like, bra-ta-ta. Yo, Liddy out here busting shots.
God.
The Ducks with the K.
Yeah.
Oh, Lydia Chopovich.
Mm-hmm. Endless, a.k.a.
A tweet I enjoyed. Hampton Yout tweeted, there should be a Wario Lopez, which, speaking of Mario Lopez. And then MacGyver tweeted, I take care of myself the same way I do plants. Forget to drink water for 3 days, then have a whole bunch at once and tell myself that's the same thing. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what is that going to be today?
This is from a trio known as the Buttering Trio. And this is just another very, very easy listening track. It's got, the bass lines are thumping. The vocals are nice. It's just like sort of some ear volume, you know. So if you want to experiment with some rainbow therapy, you know, maybe bump this while you're just letting them rays hit you, that Roy G. Biv, all over your body. Yeah, so check this out from the Buttering Trio. It is called Sail With Me.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
I thought you'll never ask, my darling. Sure, I'll come on by. Oh, how could I refuse your silly, sexy sailor smile. I'll play guitar to the stars. I'll keep it slow and smooth. Just let me know if it would be alright to bring my boyfriend too. Come sail with me.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.